all the flow is not going to happen on day one. It's going to happen over a period of time. So you design the pump station such that it is, you put in the majority of what's there, the brick and mortar and that, and you expand the facilities inside of it to accommodate over time. So your concern is legitimate, but we would know before that construction or that design of that facility was done who was coming into it and why. And the reason being is that has to be, we have to disclose that and be approved by DNR and MMSD, all those approvals. That's why this whole process takes so long, because you have so many players involved with it. Okay. So, I mean, there are legitimate concerns and questions. There's no doubt about that.
One other point I want to add, if I can. Keep in mind that there not only is there a capital cost associated with the construction of the facility, but there's also an operational cost that will occur. And we haven't gone deep into looking at exactly what those numbers would be. But under the MMSD scenario, it would be the responsibility of the district, the sewage management district, to pick up those operational costs in perpetuity, as opposed to if it was a Franklin-only facility that we decided to build, where we would be responsible for those operational expenses.
I guess there are obviously a lot of unanswered questions, and you know, each time you move forward, you answer more questions, but you also spend more money. So what is it that you need, and what are your professional opinions on how far are we going to go to get these questions answered, and what's the cost to get us to that point, and how long?
Well, that's why I laid out here this two-year time frame, because there is so much work that has to be done. I think that if the council decides to proceed with the beginning of the financial analysis of this, that's a key point of this, because at the end of the day, there's got to be enough development to support what the costs are that are not being paid by somebody else. The city still ends up with costs. What's that going to be? Second thing is, what are those costs going to consist of? Are we talking about, I mean, right now we've got sewer and water down in this general area. We don't have a layout. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a number of different property owners there that we have to deal with, some of which, I mean, just based upon previous developments like this that I've been involved with over the years, some of those may be interested in developing their property. Some may just say, buy me out, get me out of that. Those are all things just randomly that have to be done. We have to come up with a transportation network in this area so that we know where to put the utilities. We can't just, and you all know this, we can't just arbitrarily put utilities out in the middle of nowhere and then build around them. It's the opposite of that process. You have to lay out the whole thing. So all those questions are very valid questions. We have to go through that process one step at a time in order to do that.
Right, but I don't see action or motion for the next meeting, so I'm wondering what is that next process?
Okay, well,
I can get into that a little bit.
Well, before that, I just want to, what happens if we just do just the Oakwood Road while you continue the lower process and analysis of that?
This area up in here, as you know, there have been overtures to the city for a development in this area.
Yes.
That's the end of the world as far as the sewer in Oakwood goes. There's no more that can be served. There's this area up in here, there's sewer in here that could service a portion of this with the existing sewer that's in there. Once you get close to this line or south, there's nothing we can do today. Your point is very good. We have some place to start on this whole thing. That's a big chunk of land there that we can do that will feed the engine to provide the development and the tax revenue to start paying towards the eventual cost of this. That's why this whole thing is growing on that. That's why, as I said, I understand that you're going to possibly consider engage in the city's financial consultant and start working with this, working with us on this, so we can start seeing what the timing of this whole process is going to take. But you're right. I mean, we've got a place to start up in through here. Meanwhile, we can do all the work that's going to be done in this area to be ready to get going with that. So we're not just going to sit around, and I know this is being facetious, we're not going to sit around for 2 years and then all of a sudden things magically happen. There's a lot of work that's got to get done. But there's a process, and if the council so desires, we can start putting together with the city's financial consultant a schedule for what's got to happen, when, and who's going to be doing it and all that. We just have not been told to do any of that, but what I think the city would really benefit from, quite frankly, is a schedule, and here's the to-do list of everything that's got to get done in sequential order so that you, as a council, the city, has a roadmap how to get from point A to B to C to D and all the rest of the stuff.
So what you're not asking for is a motion to receive and file tomorrow night. You're actually going to be asking to move forward into a step of a schedule?
May I answer that, please? I brought forth several items related to Area D. And each and every step, there has been extensive conversation by the council. And in some of those instances, I have made requests for greater actions, and that action has been curtailed, and been my scope of action has been more limited than what I requested. So we'd like to be able to move this forward. During one of those conversations, Alderman Mayer asked that we have a larger conversation with at a committee of the whole meeting. So we're having that larger conversation today. I'll be honest, I had no idea how the council was going to respond to this issue.
I didn't either. I didn't know any of the information either.
I thought it was wise to allow the group to have the conversation without any action in front of you, except to receive and file.
I appreciate that. I was just unclear.
And so, let Aaron finish his statement, please. Mm-hmm.
And so, not knowing the direction this council was going to give, I wanted to allow you that opportunity to have the conversation with no pressure, no request for me to move forward at this stage. Allow a two-week cycle to pass. And I noted in here that I'd like to move forward with the professional services contract. I'm not asking for that tonight. I'm not asking for it tomorrow. I'll ask for that at the next council meeting if this group wants to continue to move forward. Joe Eberle has outlined tonight, there is further engineering study that probably needs to occur if we want to continue to move forward. And we'd like to move forward with putting together that larger schedule. But we wanted to be careful in our approach. Mm-hmm. And understand that it's up to you to decide to provide direction to staff.
That's helpful because when I come into the meeting, I see, oh, we're just going to do this. And then I think, oh, tomorrow night, I got to hurry up and reflect on this and try to make a decision without those answers. I appreciate the fact that knowing that you weren't expecting an action, you just wanted to give this information. So thank you.
And so when we talk about next steps, just to wrap up that point, mm-hmm. we're thinking about these are potential next steps that could occur at the second meeting in March, right, okay. in 2 weeks.
We can't chew on the whole elephant, obviously, in one night or 1 month or anything like that. I mean,
right.
This is a large project that involves a lot of many, many, many pieces and parts, lots and lots of dollars. We are, and the staff is very respectful of the position that you guys are in. I mean, you have the pot of money, and you have to decide how the 27 million uses of that whole thing. So we're trying to do this in a systematic order, but at your direction. So we'll do what needs to be done as you feel comfortable at the pace that you need to do. As Aaron said, we don't have anything tonight, we don't have anything for tomorrow night. This is a big step on the part of the city, and you need to chew on it for a while and decide what we're going to do. But we can lay out a program for you of how you're going to do this. And then the main thing is communication so that you know as the runners of the city what's going on, what you're getting into, what the exposure is, and you do it piece by piece. At some point in time, we're going to get to a point where there's no stopping now to do this, but we're not to that point right now. But there is a systematic. I've done
Joe. Lots of this stuff. So at some point, I'm happy with the pace. It's okay. But as late as last Thursday, Aaron and I were at an event. The VP of a national chamber of commerce who imports businesses, site locations, asked me how we're doing on our new business park. I said, we don't have a new business park. We've got an area that we're considering developing. He said, well, I got businesses. You just let me know when you're ready. So let's be deliberate. Let's do it right. But let's keep moving forward.
Okay, I just had one. I've taken quite a bit of time, and you've graciously addressed everything. But one of the things that I would like to see, if someone could get an answer about, what are we looking at for a time frame for the Elm Road interchange? Obviously, that is going to be an important factor in placement.
Is there a motion to suspend the rules to allow State Representative Ken Skoronski from the 82nd District, who sits on the Transportation Committee, to address that issue?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
I hate to put him on the spot.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Well, aye. Sometimes you gotta get a hot seat. Ken?
Aye. Well, I'm just sitting here listening. This is the first I hear about it. I've been involved with that area for a long time, as you know, Mayor.
Well, Ken, we've talked about this on a number of occasions. I don't mean to be argumentative, but...
it's on. Want me to talk? Let me talk. Okay, thank you. Just keep me informed on what your plans are. We'll review it when the time comes and help and assist where we can. Up to that point, this first meeting I'm sitting down and listening to it here right now. So I can't be in two places at one time. Luckily, after Monday here, seeing that I'm able to be here, I'm here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It's yours, work.
I just have a question for him.
The Elm Road interchange?
That's what we've been talking about, Ken.
Okay, all right. Well, that's right now, I would say, keep it in the back of your mind, but I wouldn't guarantee anything on it right now. Because the budget the way it is, not only the state and the federal budgets, I wouldn't guarantee at this time on getting information on where it's going to be and when it's going to be. But I wouldn't guarantee anything right now. Can't give you the answer because I don't have any original information. When I get it, I'll be known by the chair.
Representative Skoronski.
Hello, Mayor.
There was talk that it would be done probably around 2020 or 2021. Is that not even on the horizon at this point?
Actually, Alderwoman, excuse me, Ken. Last I looked at the schedule online about 6 months ago, it was scheduled for 2018 construction. 2018. Mr. Hertzberg.
Yeah, I've had some preliminary conversations with the Department of Transportation staff about that. What I'm hearing is it's currently listed for 2018, as the mayor said. I don't think there's any expectation that that's realistic. You know, the last biannual budget pushed back, more or less pushed most transportation back 2 years. The budget now is a living document, I'll say that, with some shifting going on, and so that may have additional impacts. That said, I just want to reiterate something that was, or I've mentioned before, maybe to individuals, but in my conversations with developers and folks who could potentially be interested in this area, there certainly is value attached to the Elm Road interchange. But as Joe mentioned, there's a lot of infrastructure work that's going to take us probably a minimum of 2 years to accomplish, to create any value over there. There's little to no value without sewer and water infrastructure. So we could certainly be working on that in the meantime. And I suspect that folks would be interested in developing that land, even without the Elm Road interchange. The major impacts to road infrastructure and whatnot are going to be further to the east in Oak Creek, where the actual interchange is changing. Joe has laid out the design here to anticipate the change, talking about the raising of that bridge, moving of that road further to the north to accommodate it. So we would be able to move forward with our plans, work with a potential developer who could work in that area, put up a building on that parcel in the southeast quadrant or other areas that a developer might be interested in building on. before the Elm Road interchange occurs, and then they would be well-positioned for the future.
Alderman Mayor.
This question for you, Mr. Mayor. What is your sense from the other municipalities that are being talked about here of their willingness or desire to join in on this? Because this isn't a new concept.
As a matter of fact, you and I had a conversation about this
very brief
3 years ago.
Yes.
And then that stopped. But I have not had conversations with Oak Creek about it for competitive reasons, competitive advantages, and I think we talked about that briefly. I think those are going away. Raymond has met with me. They are interested. But having said that, they need guidance, and that's not for us to do. But they want to do it.
Okay.
But what I'd like to hear is, yeah, Mr. Mayor, go ahead and talk to these folks. But Alderman Barber.
I'd just like to thank Aaron for bringing this forward and bringing it at the pace you're bringing it now so we get a chance to understand it. It's helpful to hear this in this kind of format. So I want to thank you for the presentation as well as the approach.
Alderman Dendry.
Just a quick question. We've got a two-year, this would be a two-year plan. It appears that the county council may want to take this at a rather slow pace. How much longer to develop and come up with a plan and then move forward after that 2 years of doing this is it going to take to develop this and in your experience from either party?
Yeah, and it's an excellent question. If I had the answers, the full answer to it, I'd love to be able to. Boy, I'd make a lot of money. I believe that there's development interest in the parcels. When I got a number of phone calls when there was an article in the Milwaukee Business Journal about the rezoning of the land, and so that tells me that people are paying attention. They immediately wanted to know details of the site. We are within the planning department is readily anticipating a development proposal for one of the parcels that is currently utilitied along Oakwood. So we're hopeful that will move forward. That would add increment to it. We'd like to initiate that conversation in 2 weeks' time with your approval with Ehlers to get deeper into that. They have a staff member now who comes from the development world and has some development expertise who I think could add value to that conversation. But I do think there's definitely development potential there. And it's a matter of our willingness to commit to the project. And I think that as we get deeper into the project, more of that development interest will come out of the woodwork.
But in doing it in this process, we're going to lose our existing TID, and it looks like we're going to have to start a new TID.
I wouldn't say that. We'd like to be able to begin to look at these numbers with Ehlers, potentially with the inclusion of a partnership through MMSD. It's possible that there's still an ability to act within the existing TID. You do note that there is a limited time frame left on that TID district. The answer is we don't know at this stage. We've got to get in and dig at those numbers with Ehlers' assistance to figure out what's possible, what's realistic, ensuring that we're conservative in our approach.
Because if it does sunset and we don't hit it, then we've got to look at the feasibility of a new TID and if it's going to be practical.
No doubt.
Because you might lose your window.
No doubt. I'll say this, regardless of whether or not we're able to move forward in this TID, and I'm hopeful that we will be able to, the engineering work that Joe's undertaken so far would be helpful to us regardless, right? Even if we're not able to move forward with the existing TID, we're still going to have to put in the same sewer and water system if we want to create value on this land.
Alderman Mayor.
Oh, I had one more question.
Sorry, Mark.
And if it's still open for Ken, Is the state highway project going to go from Milwaukee County to Racine County? Isn't that going to be worked on in the within the next 5-year window? And then wouldn't that be an appropriate time to redo that Elm Street intersection?
Yeah, because I saw 4 designs for the Elm Street interchange already. But right now, the way everything is being backed up, and they're saying 2 to 4 years, in some cases even more, that the money isn't there for it, and then they get the federal appropriations for those roads and that bridge. And that bridge is going to be raised 10.6 there. And right now, until we get more of the information, I'm working with the federal office and finding out what's exact on it. We haven't had the first transportation meeting yet in the state for our, we're going to be a caucus in session tomorrow. And once I start finding out what the schedule is going to be on the DOT, and it's going to be a long one. And of course, that's the giant gorilla right now in the state with the budget.
Okay. Thanks, Ken.
Alderman Mayor.
Actually, I was going to ask what Mark asked, though, about the window for the TID and if this was going to be covered by the TID. And assuming it is covered, that $3 million would be eligible for it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's in the project plan as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to follow up on the DOT, we are also having conversations with staff. I think you probably all saw the governor made an announcement about shifting funding from the east-west section of 94 coming out of downtown Milwaukee to north-south. I was at conferences the next day pressuring DOT staff to give me answers. Does that include us? Unfortunately, they didn't have the answers, but it's definitely something we as staff are trying to pursue and understand better.
Okay. Let's move on to item 4. Mr. Nelson. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recommendation from the Fair Commission to change the monthly fair to weekly and get us a farmer's market. Mr. Nelson, sir.
Good evening. John Nelson, address 7787 South North Cape Road.
You know what, John, it strikes me. You know, we're going to give you all the respect and offer you the opportunity to give us a presentation, but I have a sense that there's no issue here. Do I have that?
Well, I had my, Madam Clerk?
Could you please add that you are a candidate and disclose that you're a candidate?
Okay, I'm a candidate for the Aldermanic District 6.
It's all yours, man.
So I came in here tonight and saw a pretty big crowd and thought that was for item 4. Apparently it wasn't, so I guess I'll forge forward. So the brief history, the fair came to us August 1958. And over the years, mostly in the last 20 years, the first Monday fairs have dwindled to almost non-existent. The biggest thing that we've come up with as a commission is that the other farmers markets that exist in the surrounding communities, there's 20 plus other farmers markets, none of which are during the week, during the day. A lot of competition. Our vendors that we have, the majority of them vend elsewhere during the weekend. They're committed all over the place. So we've done some, you know, some research. I've talked to some neighbors, businesses that are in the area, along with Alderman Mayor. We've kind of come up with a plan that we believe will revitalize, energize, and get this hopefully going again. And these summer Monday fairs that we're proposing would be the 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Market Square only, starting June 12th. Running through October 2nd. And it's every Monday. So we kind of label it Summer Monday Fairs. It appears that the other successful fair venues around the area are during the week, 3 to 7, that roughly that time period. Trying to, you know, not go and compete with other weekends, because we're going to, anything on a weekend daytime, there's too many out there and our vendors can't participate. So looking at that Market Square area, and I don't have the exact footage, but basically from Church Street to Swiss Street, blocked off, so Franklin Street's blocked off, about 130 feet or something like that, and 30 feet wide. Just trying to get it motivated again, and in giving it a shot. I mean, we talk to people, and you know, some are, well, I wish we could do something with the first Monday fairs. Well, we've tried. We just, it's a different animal now. It's a different dynamic. It's just times changed, and either we change with them or we don't succeed. So I believe it's worth a shot.
So the only thing you're looking for, well, you're looking for approval to change the hours. But you're going to need $500. So that we can't do tomorrow. It's not in the packet, is it? $500 from contingency?
No, and neither is an ordinance to change the municipal code. So we'll come back in 2 weeks with the budget change.
But we really don't need to worry about any of that. In the meantime, you can say, John, go.
Unless you are against what's being proposed.
Unless you're
here.
Against it. Mr. Esserberg.
Can you include appropriate funding contingency budget if you want it?
That's not your issue at the moment. You just want to know you can go, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. I get us tomorrow evening. Someone will make the motion to conceptually approve it. Can't approve it until.
Yes.
Alderman Wilhelm.
And currently, everybody in the neighborhood. The whole people that are affected by this are okay? They're
no. I can't speak to everybody in the neighborhood because I didn't contact them.
Majority.
The businesses that are the ones, there wasn't a big, first of all, it was, I didn't get a hold of a lot of people knocking on doors. People weren't opening up the doors. So I don't know if it was my time of day. I didn't go during the day, during the week, but I went weekends. The businesses, I'm not going to name them by names, but are for it because it's a Monday night. It's going to bring people there. You know, talked with Vern.
It's a problem. You come back to us and we do something else, right?
Well, we, you know, the bar's pretty low right now.
A lot of people are looking forward to this. Dan?
Yeah, I'll just be real brief. For those who have never been at the St. Martin's Fair, it started out, as John said, many years ago as Farmers Monthly Fair. The farmers could take off during the day, so they would come and sell their things and then spend the afternoon in the tavern. It was a daily a full Monday for them. Well, as John mentioned, things change, and people can't take off Mondays from work now and can't go during the day, so the fair is dying. So our hope is that by putting it later in the day, we can get some people that will be able to come after work and buy their weekly supply of fresh greens and vegetables and hopefully revitalize it. I think we all fully well are aware that this could kill the fair, or we might have a lull in a participation for a few months, but if we don't do anything, the fair will die. And today there was about 3 pickup trucks with ducks or something on the back. And the fair is dying as it is now, and it can't go on. So at least this is a shot to make it it is the original green market. And by putting it during the later hours, hopefully we can revitalize it.
I think this is great. I think, it'll kill the morning fair, but that's dying anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the record reflect that Alderwoman Wilhelm has left the council chambers at 9:10. Okay, let's move on to the... thanks, John. Tomorrow night you'll get a blessing.
Sounds good.
The next item is a request. Actually, it's an ICC agenda item. They want to take action on this next Monday. And when they brought it up, it was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not doing this on my own without having a council weigh in on this. The resolution was in your packet. I left for you as well another piece of information from the proposing group, which is Common Cause. Their program is Do Not Stand Idly By. The thrust of all of this, and you read the ordinance and you read the resolution, that's what they want to act on next Monday. Essentially, commits the city to work with other communities and this group to test new pistol products, and then doesn't specify cost or what that any of that means, and then I think there's a higher goal here, but I won't discuss that until they bring it out. But Alderman Mayor.
What does Chief Oliva and the police department think about this, and shouldn't we have some input from them?
I called him and asked him. He's been out all afternoon. He was not at the ICC meeting that this was introduced at. I'm sure there's some issues, but abstention works as well. They're going to vote on this Monday, which is why it's on today.
Just seems like it should be coming from him, support or non-support.
Absolutely agree with you.
Why did you feel such a need to get council support on this?
This is a public policy decision that also involves potentially money and labor from the city. It wasn't the typical ICC stuff. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a future implication to this, and I'm not sure that 65% of our residents would agree with it.
So what do you need from us if we don't know what that is?
Motion to abstain from the vote would work at the ICC level. Instruct the mayor and his representative to abstain from voting on this issue. Works for me.
Okay.
Unless you think it's a good idea, in which case I may not be there. Tell Mark or I to vote yes or vote no, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Well, what happens if you would abstain from the vote? I mean, what's one guy?
Then it's nine. It's same as here. It's 18-01. I suspect there'll be other communities not going along with this.
You want that for tomorrow night?
Yeah. Can't take action tonight. This one, take a few minutes and read it. That'll let you in on what's the future here. Alderman Barber.
Does the testing of weapons imply anything about future banning of those weapons?
I urge you to read this document. My guess is not banning. My guess is mandating. And now you see why 65% of our constituents probably would not want me arbitrarily voting either way without having your input. Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.